This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Geordie Witters and Paul Titchen. How are you guys?
Good. Good, Chris, good.
Good. Witters and Titchen, that makes you TW, which is a Gisborne winery here in New Zealand.
Correct.
Yeah, it's actually not Witters and Titchen, it's Titchen and Witters.
Okay, so we're here in sunny Gisborne, or at least it is reasonably sunny today in New Zealand. What I want to do today, I'd like to get an overview of Gisborne and then talk a wee bit about your specific vineyards that you guys grow. Does that sound good?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's start off with where the heck Gisborne is. I'm a Kiwi, I know where Gisborne is, but can you describe where it is from your point of view?
Well, it's the most eastern part of the North Island. Gisborne is known as the first city in the world to get the sun rise.
Yep.
So that's where we are, basically halfway up the east coast of the North Island, the bit that sticks out.
I wouldn't say it's remote over here, but you know, if you think about most part of New Zealand, especially in the North Island, it tends to be down the centre and maybe off, got what, Hawke's Bay, Napier, and then above it is Gisborne.
On the east coast, yeah. We like to think of ourselves being secluded, not isolated.
Well, you're isolated at the moment.
We are. One road in, one road out.
One road in, one road out. My Jane and I were staying in Tauranga, and we thought, oh, we'll go to Tauranga, and then we'll pop over the hill, and we'll be in Gisborne in, what, 2.5, 3 hours?
Yep.
And it took us 7.5 hours because all the roads were closed because of slips. It had been raining for a few days. Didn't it seem... We're in Hamilton when it was raining. It didn't seem that bad a rain, but what was it like here?
It wasn't too bad here. It was more up the coast.
Yeah.
Although we did get over that 24-hour period, we did get quite a bit of rain. I think he emptied 122 millimetres out of the rain gauge.
Yeah, that's quite a bit though, isn't it?
That was over from the Saturday morning right through to when it finished.
All I know is we came here for a summers. we've had rainstorm after rainstorm.
Yeah.
I've been driving in England now for quite a while, and I'm used to sort of 3-4 lane motorways. And when you get a big truck and it's chucking it down and the spray from the truck, you just look ahead and you wait. You know you can't see anything for 2 or 3 seconds when it drives by because it's so much spray.
Yeah, blinding.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so Gisborne, so we're halfway down or up the North Island on the east side. First of all, what grapes are grown here successfully?
What grape variety isn't growing here successfully would probably be easier to answer.
Yeah.
Most varieties seem to grow well in this climate. Syrah, I don't think anybody's got Syrah in, but everything from Chardonnay it's well known for.
When I think of Gisborne, I think Chardonnay, it's probably the best Chardonnays in New Zealand.
Yep, thank you. Through to Merlot, Malbec, Carmenere, Verdello, Sauvignon Blanc's grown quite a bit here now too, as it's slightly different flavour profile to the Marlborough Sauve. Quite a bit of Pinot Gris was grown here.
Do you grow Cab Sauv?
No, that is a late season variety.
Mm, mm.
And I think you find even Hawke's Bay, it's only 1 in 5 years that they make an absolute stunning Cabernet. If they don't get the weather to ripen it fully, you end up with that green capskin characters in the wine.
The reason I ask, because I was trying to work out what the climate is here. It's maritime, clearly maritime, because you're right on the coast.
Yep.
We've seen the rain, so we know you're getting a fair bit of rain here. But I always think of like different grape varieties, what grows and what doesn't grow, and that gives you an idea where you are in that climate.
Yep.
And so if you think about Marlborough would normally be classed as cool climate, but as you go further north, it gets a little bit warmer, and you know, they grow in Hawke's Bay, they grow Malbec, and they grow Merlot and Cab Sauv occasionally as well.
Yep.
And up here you've got Merlot, which I class as a moderate climate grape variety. I don't class it as cool climate. And Malbec, did you say you grew Malbec here as well?
Yeah.
And what does that grow like here?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm trying to use official WST language, which I don't think you guys know.
Probably not.
Geordie was saying, you know, he's never even heard of WST, which is fine. They put the North Islanders sort of cool to moderate. And definitely by the time you get up to Waiheke Island, you're definitely in that moderate climate, if not slightly tropical, moderate with the rain that comes all the time. And I was just trying to work out whether you guys are in that cool or moderate band. And it sounds like you're almost moderate, but maybe not quite.
Yeah, I think we're still classified as cool climate.
Is it still classed as cool climate?
Yeah. You know, frosts in the winter and occasionally a bit of snow on the hills.
Normally, Merlot doesn't normally grow in a cool climate. And Malbec, certainly not. If you can grow Cab Sav, you're definitely moderate. But you struggle. You can't ripen it reliably. So.
No.
Well, all right. So what do we say? The warm end of cool, maybe almost moderate?
Yeah, cool to moderate. Nail it pretty well.
That's called fence sitting, mate. Cool. Okay. And you've described the grape varieties. Chardonnay is the dominant one?
Yep. Yeah, Chardonnay is the dominant one for TW. Yeah.
But also for the region, isn't it?
And for the region. It was known as the Chardonnay capital of New Zealand, yeah, as you're saying. Yeah, so it's pretty renowned for growing good Chardonnays.
Yep. And what about Sauvignon Blanc? I was reading on the New Zealand Wine Growers' website.
Yep.
They put Sauvignon Blanc as number two here.
Yeah.
Which I was a little bit surprised about.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Even though I have some planted.
Yeah.
We don't put it on. We don't. I on sell that. It's not for, we haven't done a TW Sauvignon Blanc.
You just grow it and flog it. Why's that?
Cash cow.
What, because the yields and?
Easy to grow, good yields, and it was wanted.
Easy
didn't
sell.
Get enough of it.
Really?
And off early too, so, you know, minimal disease pressure. Yeah, it was a good one for Gisborne.
Mm.
Getting excessive 20 tonne to the hectare off it.
Yep.
Yeah, 17 to 20 tonne to hectare is sort of the norm.
Yeah, okay.
We don't get as much as they get paid in Marlborough, but still, could, yeah, as I said, a cash cow.
Yeah, and you said it's off early. It implies you harvested early.
Yeah, it's harvested around, to get those sort of ripe phenolics in Gisborne, you harvest them at 18 bricks, which is quite green, really. That's sort of the, that's around the bricks that you harvest Chardonnay, Pinot Noir for Champagne.
Oh, really? Oh, that's quite lean, isn't it? And what sort of flavour profile do you get with that?
Should try some.
I will. Don't you worry, I will be.
It's softer and it's not as much cat's pee on a gooseberry bush as Marlborough's.
Yeah, some more passion fruit or?
Yeah, getting to the more passionate spectrum rather than the classic blackcurrant gooseberry sort of characters out of the Marlborough ones.
Are you picking it earlier than Marlborough?
Yes.
Do you bud burst earlier as well or?
Than Marlborough, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're generally 10 days, 2 weeks ahead of Marlborough.
Okay.
Although a farming show, I know interviewing a guy near, and they're looking at starting harvesting early stuff on the 10th of February, which is well before we get underway.
Yeah.
We usually get underway with varieties till about the 20th of February.
Okay, so this confuses me a little bit. I just want to explore this. You're warmer than Marlborough.
Generally overall, but they get, in summer, they get some pretty hot temperatures down there.
Yeah, during the growing season, would you say you're warmer than Marlborough in the growing season? Because you're quite a bit further north. There's quite a lot of latitude between you and Marlborough.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it's a bit of a sun trap. That's why the grapes grow so well down here.
Okay. Mm. Do you get more cloud cover here?
Probably.
I like that decisive answer, yeah. Maybe, probably, could be.
Well, for those sort of things, really look up meteorological sites and it tells you
what's going on. Now, the reason I'm confused is normally I think of things like phenolic ripeness is by governed by time, you know, when you get bud burst, and particularly veraison, because veraison can wobble around a little bit, but hit veraison, and then you're a certain number of days, you know, to a certain flavour profile almost,
yeah.
Whereas sugar and acidity are more temperature orientated, and the warmer day you'll get a quicker build up and a quicker drop of your acidity.
This season's is a little bit of a one out of the box with the La Nina weather pattern. We've been getting a lot more rain.
Yes.
Coming in basically New Zealand wide. Even Marlborough, it's green down there. It hasn't browned off apparently.
Yeah, I've noticed the rain. I can tell you, my wife's noticed the rain as well. She's like, I thought we were coming for summer.
Yeah, should have come in at El Nino, not in La Nina.
El Nino. Okay, well, let's move on. So you're growing Verdello, which is a little bit of a strange grape variety for New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, where does it originate from?
Spain.
Yeah, on the coast.
Yeah.
And the other Spanish Portuguese variety that's grown here with a lot of success is Albarino.
Yeah, is it successful? Because last time I was here, which was a long time ago, there was plantings, but there wasn't a lot of plantings.
Still not a huge amount of plantings. It has proven to be a very good grape for Gisborne.
My thick skin? Fill the rain.
Yeah, it's reasonably hardy.
Yeah.
And the flavour profiles are so good. Even so that there's a bit of Albarino in Hawke's Bay, but the Albarino brothers, sort of these guys down in Hawke's Bay who've started this Albarino label, source their grapes from Gisborne for it.
Oh, really? Okay, so you got that. And what else did you say? We've got Sauvignon Blanc, Verdello, Chardonnay we'll come back to, because I want to focus on that. And what else?
Carmenere. We're about the only vineyard in New Zealand that grows and bottles their own Carmenere.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. We have Galera for a couple of years now. Just a small area of Galera for Prosecco.
Is Carmenere ripening reliably here? They dropped it out of the Bordeaux blend. It's still allowed in Bordeaux, but it's not really grown there. It's grown in Chile.
Used to be.
Yeah, it used to be, but when they replanted after Phylloxera, it was one of the grapes that went, Malbec, Carmenere, these aren't really reliable compared to Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
So they replanted with Cabernet Sauvignon, but not Carmenere. Yeah. But you can't ripen Cabernet Sauvignon, but you can ripen Carmenere. So it seems that's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, it's for some reason it is a bit confusing, but there was a bit of Cabernet planted here way back, but was never successful. You could never get rid of that green capsicum grassy flavour out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Carmenere, we can. I mean, we're tasting it constantly as it's getting close to ripeness, looking for that greenness to go out of the skins before we harvest it. And I think that's the secret to Carmenere.
And when do you harvest that?
About mid-March to... I think the latest being about the 28th of March.
Okay, so it's not really late in the season.
No.
Cool. Riesling Gewurz, any cracks at those?
Riesling, there was a bit of Riesling. That's another difficult variety to grow here.
Yeah.
But Gewurz Tramina, Gisborne was very popular for Gewurz Tramina.
Yeah. Gewurz is a nice grape variety, if you like that style.
Yeah. That's where Nick Noblo, he planted a whole, built a winery, planted a whole two vineyards of straight Gewurztraminer to take on the world with his Gewurztraminer.
Yeah, yeah. Was that Cook Chasseur in the day?
No, Noblo's was Noblo's wine group, but what did he call his?
Vinoptima.
Vinoptima.
Yeah.
All right, and Viognier. You haven't mentioned Viognier because I heard there's a bit of good Viognier around here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, that's a moderate climate grape variety, Viognier. You don't see it
in cool climates.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it grows successfully. Geordie grows some very nice Viognier.
Do you make a single varietal or a blend?
Yeah, we make a single varietal, but with the pronunciation problem we've got with Viognier, we decided one year to blend it with Chardonnay. It was 70% Viognier, 30% Chardonnay, and called it CV. Became very popular. People really liked the little bit of Chardonnay with it.
Yeah.
Just, had nice mouthfeel.
Sharpen it up.
Yeah.
And Viognier, people can't pronounce it or?
Well, you go to a restaurant and some people ask for, you've taken your girlfriend there for the first time and you ask for a bottle of Viognier and she buggers off on you. they say it does have pronunciation problems.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A bit like a Gewurztraminer.
Oh, no, that has pronunciation problems. I'm aware of that. Yeah, yeah. You get not in wine people and they can never pronounce it. Let's focus in on Chardonnay a little bit. Biggest grape variety here. It's grown all over the region with different sub-regions. And we'll drill into sub-regions later on. But you guys make, on your website anyway, you make a big thing about the Golden Slopes. Are we on the Golden Slopes here?
Can you see the slope?
I can see a slope.
How it got named, it was a little bit of a tug-in-cheek translate to French.
Yeah.
Côte d'Or?
Côte d'Or, yeah. But it is, the soils have got some limestone on them.
Yeah, yeah, the hills behind me are all limestone. We get, every now and then, we pull up the odd boulder. But generally, we're finding the big wine companies sort of target the clay limes, seem to impart the best flavours. You've got your topsoil and then it's clay.
Underneath.
And that's what our soil profile is through the Golden Slope here. we've taken a little digger up the row. They're about 5 years, 6 year old vines, dug down to 2 meters, and we've found grape roots at 1.8. Hence why we can dry land farm.
Yeah.
This also of clay, it helps retain moisture a bit longer than stones.
Yeah. So it's mainly clay, not so much the limestone?
Yeah.
I think that's the secret to this region, is that, you know, we're dry farming, don't irrigate, don't need to with these lovely clay soils. It's all about, you know, moisture retention. It's a huge plus, I think, and that's why these big wineries came to Gisborne, Von Siedler's, in the early 1900s.
Clay gives richness to your Chardonnays, that's for sure. I mean, if you look at a Chardonnay that's grown on clay, it tends to have a bit of mouthfeel and a richness to it, which you don't get maybe on limestone, which can be make the wine a little bit linear, I think, anyway. I'm not sure what you guys think. So, okay, so I was a bit surprised, because I read all about your website, and your website was talking about limestone. And I remember we came in from the south into Gisborne, and James looking over, and she goes, oh, it's like the White Hills of Dover over there. And there's a big stretch of what looks like chalk or something.
Yeah, it's papa.
Papa, what's it called?
Papa.
Papa.
Yeah.
And what's that?
It's a mudstone, basically.
Oh, it's a mudstone, not a chalk. But it's very white.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, why is it so white?
When it's wet, it's grey.
Oh, okay.
Which is the colour of papa, a bluey-grey colour.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? So,
yeah. Well, basically, up these hills along here have limestone in them. And there's a seam that probably runs across, because the quarries are over the other side of the valley, where the quarries are that actually harvest limestone for roading, etc.
You reckon it's the clay, not the limestone, that you reckon is...
The little parts set beautiful flavour into the Chardonnays, yeah.
Yeah, normally I think of limestone as water retention, porous, so it can hold on to water, but so can clay. Oh, yeah, all right, how's this for you then? I had a guy try to convince me the other week, last podcast I think it was we put up, but that clay, and normally if you're in Bordeaux, you think of it as cooling and wet. And he was saying if it's dry, it can be warming. So it can aid ripening. What do you guys think about that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I don't think. No, it doesn't have any great.
I mean, your soils hold a certain amount of heat, and I don't think clay holds it any better than any other soil.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, bricks and stone hold heat
quite
well.
Yeah.
That's why you have them at bricks in your night store heater, if you have one of those. Yeah. Not that people have those anymore. That sort of technology's sort of gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, okay. So you disagree with that?
No, definitely not seeing warmth in the soil through the clay.
So can you describe to me a classic Gisborne Chardonnay, or one of your classic Gisborne Chardonnays?
Generally, you're getting into more your melon flavours.
Okay, yeah.
You still have a bit of citrus character, but you're getting more into your melon flavours. And
yeah, it's definitely on the citrus spectrum, isn't it, as well, the Gizzy Chardies.
What's your acidity like?
Oh, yeah, reasonable acidity, yeah, which is fantastic for the ageing side of a Chardonnay, we find. You know, like we're looking at some of the older Chardonnays and they've still got that good, you know, crispness.
What's an older Chardonnay for you guys?
2002, 2003.
You're what, 20 years?
Yeah.
How does it evolve over that time? Do you get a lot of tertiary flavours coming through?
Some of them surprisingly remain reasonably bright.
Yeah.
Mm.
And fruity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, others get a bit oily.
Yeah.
That old oily kerosene character.
Oh, like a Riesling.
Yeah. Often we find that there is good tartaric acid in the grapes, you know, when harvesting, and that definitely, I think, Anita Ewart Corey, our winemaker, says it has good aging potential.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of what you do in the winery, barrels?
Our reserve Chardonnays in barrels.
Yep.
And some of the barrels go through malolactic ferment.
Not all, though, just some.
But not all. Still like to keep a bit of that acidity in there.
Yeah, yeah. But
also get a little bit of that butteriness from the mellow.
I see you are looking for that diacetyl sort of buttery flavour coming through.
Yeah, you want a bit of that. Sometimes it's mistaken for oak. And even our state Chardonnay, which is an oak-free Chardonnay, generally we put half of it through full mellow lactic ferment, and then so you've got a bit of softness in there, but you've got the nice acidity in the finish.
What about Lee's work? Any Lee's work?
Lee's work in the barrels, yes. Give them stir occasionally.
Yeah, yeah, a bit of batonnage, as the Frenchies like to say. Cool, cool, cool. And you're saying, what's the oldest version of one of your wines you've had that you've thought was decent? How long have you been making the wines? About 20 years, so.
Yeah, our first vintage was 1998.
Have you got any of that left? Have you tried one recently?
You've got some down in the cellar
there? Yeah, we have got
a bit of library stock.
Yeah, that was originally under cork too, so could be a little variability there.
Might have to dig through a few bottles to find a stunner. At the moment, we've re-released our 2019, and it's drinking superbly, for Cellar Dawn website, 2019 Reserve Chardonnay.
Yeah, yeah, it's good to hold some stock back and release it from time to time. Mm. I think that's always quite good if you can get hold of older wines without having to store them yourself. It's always nice. Yeah.
Another surprisingly old one we've got is the, talking about Verdello, it's a 2014 Verdello.
Okay, how does that drink?
Great.
Does it? Because I've never had an older Verdello. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Because I always think of it as quite a fresh, vibrant. I mean, if I drink Verdello, it's Rueda. Which is in Spain, and that's always just youthful, fresh, high acidity. Mm. It's a glugger as opposed to a keeper.
But like the Albarinos, that freshness and high.
Yeah, exactly. Acidity. Exactly, exactly. Okay, cool, cool. And finally, I know you guys have grubbed up some vineyards, and I've heard you're saying that Milton have grubbed up theirs as well. What's going on in the area? Is it expanding? Is it contracting? What's going on in Gisborne?
At the moment, there's a little bit of contraction, unfortunately, due to a national winery. Basically, they haven't continued their labels out of Gisborne, so they're concentrating more on Marlborough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of left things a little bit questionable at the moment, isn't it?
A bit of oversupply in the area, or...?
Well, there's a little oversupply nationally. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of bumper vintages down in Marlborough.
Yep.
And that's created a little bit of chaos. I mean, we've been through this sort of cycle before. It might take two or three years before the sales meet the production.
Yep. Come back and
They got into a little bit of overproduction. And looking at wine growers, sales are still increasing by... mentally every year.
Yep.
Production just beat it.
Yeah, because I noticed, for example, Sauvignon Blanc in the US, they had another step up in sales to the US, even though New Zealand copped a 10% tariff, which I think, you know, is pretty good if you can increase your market share and still get hit with a 10% increase in costs, of sale cost. That's quite good. Quite good. All right then, guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Okay. Cheers, Chris.